Hey everybody, Mike Linville here from Black Dog Marketing, and welcome to this installment of Building a Six-Figure Pet Business, an expert interview series on what it really takes to build and grow a six or seven-figure business. Now, we've got experts from every corner of the pet industry, from retail and blogging and services and everything in between, and I'm really excited about today's guest. I know that you will be too. So today, we've got Gila Kurtz from Dog is Good. Now, Gila grew up in Northern Virginia and attended Virginia Tech University, where she graduated with a degree in secondary education in 1987. Her teaching career began in a suburb of Baltimore, Maryland, immediately thereafter. It was to be a short-lived career because she soon attended a Bid for Bachelor's fundraiser auction where, with her Visa card, she purchased her future husband. I love that. Her naval career was not particularly compatible with her new teaching career, and the latter effectively ended when they married in 1989 and proceeded to move about for 2 to 3 years. In 2006, they moved to their final naval duty station at Seal Beach, California, and stayed there afterward to give their daughter some geographic stability to build the Dog is Good business, and because the weather is perfect. Over the years, in addition to supporting a stressful Navy lifestyle, Gila always had some sort of sales gig going on. After she convinced John that they needed to adopt a Dalmatian puppy, Gila learned that she really liked dogs and decided to pursue a career as a dog trainer. She immersed herself in the study and application of the science of canine behavior and quickly became the go-to dog trainer wherever she moved, much to the disappointment of the third human Kurtz family member, daughter Abby. The Dog is Good business evolved slowly from an idea in 2005 to a very part-time business in 2007 to a full-fledged operation in a small warehouse in 2009. Dog is Good is now a nationally recognized brand, renowned for clever and poignant messaging that resonates with dog lovers. The business has won numerous awards in both the pet and gift industries, including the coveted Louie Award in 2011 from the Greeting Card Association. Gila has been the recipient of several business awards, including recognition as one of the top 25 women of influence in the pet industry, 2015, by PetAge. In addition to her role as VP of Sales for Dog is Good, puppy training expert, and number one fan to daughter Abby, Gila speaks professionally on life lessons learned, inspired by dog, overcoming small business challenges, and on best practice parenting strategies to raise your child like a dog. Her interests include running, weightlifting, hiking, any outdoor activity, reading nonfiction, baking, watching her daughter perform on stage, and of course, beach time with her dogs. A recurring theme with Gila is that anything worth doing is worth overdoing. Gila, thank you very much for coming today. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. I'm so happy to be here and really honored to participate in the program.
Yeah, no, this should be fun. You know, we've been having conversations with folks for a couple of weeks now, and it's, you know, we do this and we say, oh, we're going to do this because it's going to be great for the industry. And it is, but I really feel pretty selfish because, you know, I get the opportunity to just sit down and have conversations with some people that are, you know, definitely really smart out there doing things right. And, you know, again, for that, I really appreciate it. So now, before we dive into this, now I know that Dog is Good has kind of just taken on this whole life of its own. Can you tell me a little bit about, we know you started back in 2005 as a part-time, 2009 you got your own space. So now here we are toward the, you know, Q4 of 2015. Can you give me a little bit of a lay of the land about where the business is at? How many employees do you have? You know, just a kind of a general idea about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we came up with the idea actually in 2005, but did not activate it, interestingly, until the following year, actually almost 2 years after, simply because, and this is something I want to share with people who are thinking about starting a business who have not actually moved forward in that realm. I loved the idea. I loved what we could do with it, but sometimes you don't have that confidence you need to take that leap. And it wasn't until I was working with a client of mine in a dog training capacity, this client whom I admired very, very much and valued her opinion greatly. I walked into her home wearing a Dog is Good hat that I just happened to embroider so that we could trademark the name. And she looked at it and said, oh, my gosh, where did you get that? I need a ton to give away. I said, "You're kidding." And from that moment, I went home and said to John, "I think it's time to start Dog Is Good." And so we did launch that really in 2007, testing the waters a little bit with some concepts and products. From there, we launched it really while John was still in the Navy. We were living in a government housing, the captain's quarters on this Navy base, and we had a small room about 8x8, and the room was lined with some boxes filled with some t-shirts, and I just started getting out there and talking to people and selling it. And from the 8x8 room, I had to take over half of my daughter's playroom at the time, and then told her that she was going to have to move all her toys into her room because I needed to now take over this 12x15 space. From there, we ended up moving into what was an enclosed back porch on the back of the house, which was at least 20x30 feet, and filled all that up. And then when John retired, we actually were forced to leave the house. So we moved into our first small warehouse in 2009. And that really was following our first leap into the wholesale world of selling, where we attended Super Zoo for the first time. And realized, wow, there's a great opportunity here, and we needed a place where we could grow and expand. From there, we moved to our next warehouse, which doubled that size. I think the first one was a little over 1,000 square feet, and the second one was just under 3,000 square feet or thereabouts. And we are now in our third location, which is about 5,000 square feet, and we now went from just the mom and pop, me and John, to growing our staff to now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We have 7 people working in the office, and we also work with 3 contractors who are there on a regular basis, our graphic artists, marketing, and I have a national sales director that works with me on a contractual basis. And so we've really, we've grown.
That's
a lot.
No, that's awesome. I know it's one of those things where you just kind of, you see it and then you see it and then it grows and then you see it. And I mean, now Dog Is Good stuff is everywhere, and that's fantastic. So now you mentioned wholesale. So is the business primarily wholesale right now?
Yeah, right now we currently built the business on what we refer to as our 3 pillars of growth. And that was wholesale business, e-commerce or our B2C retail business, and then a licensing component. And so with those 3 pillars, a majority of our business, quite honestly, about 85% or 80 to 85% is wholesale. And then we have the rest split between the licensing and our online retail sales. What we are adding ultimately, kind of giving a little sneak peek ahead into the vision of Dog Is Good, but there'll be a 4th pillar to really go from a stool to a full-on table in terms of station, and creating other lifestyle experiences and services along with the rest of the product line. But that's kind of a sneak peek for what's to come in the year ahead.
That's awesome.
But that is where that's where we built the business currently, on those 3 pillars.
That's super exciting. So now let's take a step back. So when you first started this business, did you start it and say, hey, you know what, this is something that we want to be able to create and really generate a lifestyle or generate whatever out of, or was it really something that you started out of passion? It was just something that you wanted to do and you just figured kind of the money would be there.
I am the kind of person that does operate from more of a follow my heart pursuit. So the business launched primarily because of my intense passion for dogs. And that was not, I did not have a passion for dogs growing up. This was something that I acquired when I fell in love with my first dog. I mean, I've always liked dogs, but I didn't share that same emotional attachment that, you know, all my peeps that I surround myself with have now, and they, you know, they know what I'm talking about. Or dog lovers, anyone who's a real dog lover, they understand what I'm talking about. So it was when I really grew to see the impact that my dogs were having not only on my life, but on the life of others around me, and that also how I was impacted by the many dogs that I had been working with in helping families integrate them in a positive way to their families, for so that they could stay with their families for, you know, their entire lives. That's where the start of the company began, really was from that. And yeah, I wanted to make money, don't get me wrong. So I did all the B2C type things. I would set up as a vendor at different events, and the objective was to connect with the dog lover individual, but also to sell products and make some money doing that. I think that I knew that this company would be very successful. I always wanted it to grow to become an internationally recognized brand, but I think that in the beginning, I couldn't see the bigger vision or where how that would happen. And now that I'm in it, I see, oh, wow, I see how it's grown. I see what it's taken. I've seen what I've had to learn. Because I think one of the terms that I coined early on for myself to describe myself was the unconscious incompetent. As I was beginning this business, I didn't know anything about this business. And I didn't know what questions to ask because I just didn't know what I didn't know. And I learned along the way, and doing so really kind of gained a real solid education in a number of areas that are involved with our business, from logistics of operating a business to the manufacturing, to the sourcing, to the selling, to the distribution channels, to all the different elements that comprise what makes up the Dog Is Good business model. And, you know, so now I didn't come into it with the idea of, I want to make, you know, tons and tons of money. It was more of, I love this message. I know people feel this way about their dogs too. I want to share that. And yes, I want to make money along the way. I want to grow this to be an internationally recognized brand. And now that I'm, you know, getting there, it's like, wow, now I really see how revenue is generated and where focus and attention needs to be to meet not only my business goals, but my personal goals with the business, which really is very rooted in the messaging. And I'm really taking a strong push on that in the year ahead, that it isn't just apparel and gifts inspired by dogs. It really is life inspired by dogs. How we choose to live, work, and play using those anecdotal lessons that we can garner from our relationships and the daily interaction that we have with our dogs to be better people, to be more impactful, and to take the words of one of my greeting cards, is also inspired by my dog, to really leave your mark. That's what it's about.
I like that. I love that. So that's great, and it's interesting because, you know, I mean, you're talking to these, to this subset of dog people, and I like to classify myself as one of those. So, you know, when I'm doing anything, if I'm going anywhere, my first thought is, well, what about the dogs? Can I take the dogs with me? Are the dogs going on vacation? Are we, you know, I mean, like, I have my dog sitting at my feet right now as we're doing this interview, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I love it. So, I think that what you guys are doing is fantastic. Now, you know, we talked about as you were going and you started to really kind of get serious about this thing, you went from, you know, your 8x8 space to, you know, booting your daughter out of her playroom to these different warehouses. So other than just the growing and the physical, I need more space to hold product because, you know, you're shipping product and you got to have space for that. What other kinds of, I guess, lessons or what other kinds of challenges did you experience as you were coming up in those first couple of years?
Right. I think in this business, my biggest challenge was finding a way to stop the snowball from that had already been pushed down the hill, or to at least get in front of it. I feel like the first couple of years in the business was always about catching up. It took off faster than we were technically prepared for. So we didn't have a full infrastructure in place to support the growth. We were trying to build it as it was growing. So that was a challenge early on. Another challenge was identifying a proper CRM system that would support our growth long term, so that we could, have everything all in one location and growing from QuickBooks to another program that would serve as support for sales, the distribution, the all the purchase orders that were taking place, and that everything was really neatly combined in this one program that would also integrate with our website for web sales. So that was kind of a challenge initially, but I think we've got our handle on that. Also hiring the right people. And I think that that's a challenge that a lot of small businesses face, is there's a struggle between, I need to have, you know, a person doing this, but I can't afford to do that right now. So how do you overcome that where, you really need to, you cannot wear every hat in the business. I mean, I know firsthand that that is the quickest way to keep L'Oreal in business. And since you're a guy, Mike, that means I have to color my hair every so often. So, because, you know, sometimes stress will lead to gray hair every now and then. And anyway, so those I would say would be the biggest challenges. Also, where I am right now, my challenge is that we're putting distribution into larger and larger accounts, and with that comes a lot more give and take. So with larger accounts, meaning multi-unit accounts, both in and outside of the pet industry, they have requirements in terms of margins. They have requirements in terms of routing guides and distribution, and there's chargebacks if you don't do everything perfectly. So there's a lot of spinning wheels or spinning plates that have to be attended to when dealing with multi-unit accounts, and then finding getting the manufacturing under control so that you can maintain your own margins so that it makes sense. I currently am dealing with a very large multi-unit account. It's not in the pet space at all. We are going back and forth, to meet each other's needs. And at the end of the day, I have to really sit down and evaluate, will this, at the end of the day, be worth it? In other words, if there's no margin there or so slight, is it worth it to still get the brand out there because of the mass distribution? And it's not a big box store either. It's a regional type location, but they have multiple locations. And so we reach a lot of consumers that way in terms of brand recognition. So there's that evaluation. And it involves a lot of people. So, those are the kinds of challenges that I'm facing right now personally with getting distribution out there, is that juggling of manufacturing, cash flow, margins, dealing with people who want to pay net 30, net 60. Those are the little challenges that we deal with on a daily basis.
And those aren't little challenges by any stretch of the means. And when you definitely are going wholesale, there's a lot kind of to be, I think the easiest way for people to do it a lot of times is to go direct to the consumer, because your margins are larger, so you have more room for mistakes. You know, when you're dealing with wholesale, the margins are much smaller, so it's definitely a little more complicated. And then especially an operation the size of yours, it's not just selling to one or two local places. I know we've got a lot of folks that are listening that are they do snacks or they do dog treats or something like that, but they're, you know, they maybe have 20 or 30 little general pet food places that are local to them. But you know, when you start getting to your level and starting to get to the point where you're really thinking international brand, it definitely takes on a whole new life.
Yeah, it does. And we still sell into the independent stores that may have typically have one location, sometimes maybe two. I love them because they're following their dreams, what they like to do, but they also are easy to reach and easy to work with. But for us to grow and meet our goals as an internationally recognized brand, a multi-million dollar company, that does require looking at multi-unit locations. So our sweet spot that I like to focus on are locations range between 5 and 50. Through that, now I can do volume manufacturing. I can reach more people. I can introduce new product concepts that I may not be able to do otherwise, because their purchase power supports manufacturing and bringing something new into the line. So you're absolutely right. It's because we deal with both, but it's definitely at a different level now than it was when we first started and we were first selling into retailers.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and what's really interesting is you and I have had conversations in the past, and I think one of the things that why I really wanted I really wanted to get you in on this series so that you could play with us is, you know, when you first got started, I mean, maybe you can tell us a little bit more about this, but you had some very definite goals on a daily basis, and that was how you built up this list of these wholesalers that you got started. It wasn't just about, oh, I've got an idea, let me go to Super Zoo and then let me just jump in. Like, you hit the ground running on this. Can you tell us a little bit about your strategy when you first got started?
Sure. I knew that the only way that I could get into retail stores, once I was convinced that this was the way to go, was that I had to reach out to them. So every single day, I would call retailers in the pet space. I would pick a state, and I typically would pick a state on the East Coast to start because I was in California, and this is how it would go. I can tell you my script because I did it a gazillion times. Before I do, I'll say I had a certain number. I would make sure every single day I made 15 calls as a minimum every day, 15 calls, which doesn't sound like a lot, but other days I would do a lot more. I absolutely, without doubt, was going to get through the 15. And then of those, nobody said no to me because this is what I said. Hello, may I please speak with the owner or buyer for your store? And then sometimes that would be the person, or they would go, you know, get the person, and then I'd say, hi, you know, my name is Gila Kurtz. I'm calling you from California, which sounded sexy, you know, I'm California. And I'm calling because I am launching a brand new brand, and I would love if you would take the opportunity to just take a look at my catalog. Would you be open to doing that? I'd love your feedback. And nobody said no. I never got a no. And I would say, okay, let me get your email. I will email this to you. Now, all I ask is this. If this is something that you see your customers getting excited over, I'd like to follow up with a conversation and figure out a way that I can help you introduce the brand to your customers. Would that be okay with you? And then that would be that. And then, of course, I would do the follow-up. And here's the thing about follow-up, and I really want to hit this home, because some of the bigger accounts that I'm working on right now are accounts that I've been talking to for 3+ years. And I can look at my account list currently and tell you of about 2 others that took me almost 5 years to get into their stores. It's persistence. It's knowing that everybody's busy, and that just because they don't return your email or they don't return your phone call does not mean they're saying no. And I will also give people a way out. So if we're in a conversation or if we're in an email exchange, I'll ask them, you know, just curious, just to help me better serve you, tell me, is this a product line that you are interested in bringing in now, or is it something that you're looking for more down the road, or is it something that you look at and say, I love it, but you know what, I'm just not going to bring it in? And I tell them, and it's okay, I actually label it, are you an A, B, or C? A, you're ready to do it right now, let's do this thing. B, I love it, I need to do it, you know, in fourth quarter. Or C, I love it, but I will not be I'm not your customer. I'm not going to be able to bring this in. And I always follow that up with, you know what, it's perfectly okay to be a C. That'll save us both time. And that gives people, you know, a way out. And it also saves me time, because I don't want to keep calling people if they're kind of like, oh, well, I'm really busy. But what it really boils down to is they just aren't going to bring it in for whatever reason. And that's okay. I only want to work with the people who want to bring it in, and also who want to bring it in a way where they're going to see success with the brand. Because that's the other part, is will you bring this in a way that will serve you and your store well? Because I don't want you to just order once and then not do it again or say it didn't work. I have a real system and strategy to help these stores succeed with the brand.
See, I love that story. I mean, so you're here and you're just banging on the phones, basically building an email list at 15 emails plus a day. You're following up, you're saying, are you an A, are you a B, or a C? So you're qualifying the list right off the bat, giving people an out, so you're building the same. Why wouldn't somebody say, you know, say yes? They can say, I'm not interested, or they can say, I don't think this is right for my people, or whatever. I love that. And how did that work for you? Was that a successful strategy?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, I am so excited. I think about this all the time. There's certain accounts that have been with us literally since those phone calls. Since day one. And I always, like with our sales team, I'm like, so I talk to them And they appreciate that too. I will say I get great feedback from them. I love calling them, you know, every at least once every six, 8 weeks, 12 weeks, depending on their order cycle. But I personally touch base with them. I also want to say this, and I am regretful that I cannot no longer do this myself because I wish there was a way I could. And maybe if it's kind of a devoted day to do it, you do it. But in the very beginning, with every order I got, I personally handwrote a note and thanked them because I was really grateful. I was grateful that they put their trust in me and the confidence in the brand to bring it in. And so I did that for several years. Now I just wish I could do more. Maybe I really just need to sit down and say, okay, once a week, this is all I'm doing is writing the thank you notes to everybody. But it's that personal touch. And I do often send little notes to people, but I like to make personal calls because that does make a difference. And just check in. And not to sell them, just checking in. Hey, I'm thinking about you. I love your feedback. Here's another store that did a really fun, cool thing. Just that you might like to know about it. So I feel like, you know, everything is about the relationship. That is what grows the business. But you're absolutely right. Those calls and streamlining it and the follow-up were key. And I had to do that every day, and I was. I call it, I'm smiling and dialing. And that's what I would do.
No, and that's great because, you know, so many people they have great ideas. They've got great products. They've got great services. But when it comes time to, you know, generate leads, and that's what this was, right? I mean, it was just straight up old school lead generation, getting on the phone, dialing, and then you took it a step further where you started to qualify them through the email communications. And then you know, on the back end, you started doing, you know, now what gets referred to as like a lead, like a nurture system, right? A customer nurture, but you're following up with them. You're building relationships. I mean, and I that's why, you know, that I love that because I'm a firm believer that business is all about relationships, right? It's not black and white. It's not check this box, do this, do this. It's about relationships. And to the extent right. where you can utilize, I mean, obviously now you don't have the time to do it, but there are things that you can do. So now, do you use some sort of technology to help you? You said that you still do on occasion, you know, reach out to people and make those phone calls. How do you monitor who does that and how often? Do you use technology?
Yeah, we have a CRM system. We use a company called NetSuite. So you can log all those calls in there. You can also email through there, so it does record that. That is a way to track and to also know what your salespeople are doing or be able to start taking statistics. You know, for X, I already, you know, early on I knew, okay, if I'm making 15 calls a day, out of those I'm getting about 2 conversions. So how many, if I want, 100 new customers, how many calls do I need to make in order to convert whatever? And remember that those initial sales, that was not from a trade show, you know, where people could actually be in touch or see me face to face. They were really, everything was cold. So, but that's the system that I use, is the NetSuite system for that. And then I have my own, I'm still old school. I still have my little filing system. And to be honest with you, I know this is really antiquated, but there is a system that I had always worked for me, and that was just to take file cards and put dividers in a file box, you know, 1 through 31. And if I called somebody on the 2nd and I needed to follow up with them on the 15th, then I would just move their little file card information to the spot behind number 15. And then at the start of the day, I would just look at all my cards after the call, and there they were. So my team wishes that I would use our system more online, but I sometimes you just have to do what works best for you so that you stay on track. And I'm trying to use more some of the other online systems and programs to manage things as we've grown. We've always used Basecamp for project management, and we just start now looking at another one. Goodness gracious, I can't remember the name, but it works a little bit better and will involve all of our departments in a number of things, because that, if you go back to the challenges, that's one of the other challenges that we face is if we come up with an idea on a new product, well, there's a lot of things involved with that. It's not just about the idea. Now it's the graphic design. Now it's the selection of what product categories is this design going to go on. Great. Once we get that in, now it's the photography behind that, and then getting it into the catalog and the layout and the sell sheet to the sales rep. So there's all these different things. So it's not just me coming up with an idea anymore or John coming up with an idea. It's and going, okay, let's go, let's design it and get it to the screen printer. We could do it. There's a lot involved. And so when you have a full team that needs to be integrated in that process, there has to be a program to keep that all together. And that's what we try to implement.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Basecamp. We've been using it for years and years and years, just based on, you know, the way that we work with our clients. It's one of those tools that works the best, allows us to, you know, divvy up tasks, track tasks and stuff like that. Now, I know that we're short on time. I don't want to take too much more of your time, but I do actually have one more question, Gila. So a lot of the people that are going to be coming into this system are going to really fall into one of two different categories. They're either going to be brand new, right? They're getting started and they're watching this series because they're looking for where the mine's going to be, where are the potholes that I should try to avoid. Or they're going to be people that have been doing it for a while, And they need a push. They're having a hard time breaking through. So maybe the business is still a hobby for them. Maybe they're still working out of their daughter's playroom, but they want to be able to make it bigger so that they can contribute more or whatever that means to them. So if you were to sit down with somebody that was in that kind of position and you could give them a couple pieces of advice, like what were two or three things that you would say to them? This is where you should invest your time. This is what's going to make the difference early on.
Okay, the person really just starting from the very beginning, they have their idea, they have their product, and now they're trying to get it into the marketplace, and they're basically doing it out of their home. My first suggestion, now is this person working full-time in this operation, or are they also trying to do it part-time while they have another job?
Let's say part-time. Let's say that they're just trying to get this thing off the ground.
Okay, so I would start with the sales. I would start with some sales calls if they're trying to get into the wholesale industry. A place where they can, I would just kind of do it like I did it, even if they're only doing it part-time. You have to get your brand out there. You have to get in front of the customer, because whether the customer is buying from you or from a store, they are the end person that you want to reach. So you need to learn what excites them, what gets them interested, what products you see selling, because you're going to better serve your retail accounts once you have a clear understanding what the customer truly wants. Then, so getting out on the weekends and doing any kind of event. And we do events in the pet space, but we also do events that have nothing to do with pet at all. They're just big, big events. And statistically, there's pet owners who are walking through them. Then I would see if they have the funds to do a trade show, to do that, if they're, you know, feeling like they're ready to get into what would be required in terms of the distribution. But otherwise, it really just boils down to getting on the phone and making those calls. And if they have the money to invest, the person I would invest in is the salesperson, the person who can be generating the leads and introducing the product line, the marketing materials, or online, you know, through the online marketing materials that they might have, and creating that funnel so that they can sell directly. That's where it's all about. I mean, there's so many things, as I mapped out with Dog is Good, every single touch point that we are involved in right now, and there's a gazillion. There's all the social media platforms. There's, you know, setting up for, we're doing a retail event this weekend, and, you know, so getting all that squared away, and then everything with the B2B, which is, you know, creating newsletters. There's a lot, and it can seem really overwhelming. So my suggestion really is to start with the basics, and the basics boil down to get your product into the marketplace for revenue. So selling directly to the consumer through events, local events, and either getting on the phone yourself, or creating, using some of the internet tools available now to generate a list of interested potential customers, again, either B2C or the B2B, and then having a person or yourself get on the phone and make those calls and just ask people to look at your product. That's all you're asking. Would you be willing to take a look? And if so, can we have a conversation about that if you like it?
Oh, that's great. And then there's always, that opportunity for the follow-up too. So now I love it. I think that's great. So sales calls, trade shows, events, get it out there, generate some leads, generate some sales. If you're going to bring on a person, bring on a salesperson, because they're going to be the person that's going to be able to help you drive this thing forward. I love that. So Gila, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it. I know that you've got to go. Just one more. If people want to get a hold of you, if they want more from you, what's the best way for them to interact with your brand, the best way to find out about you? You know, how do they get more Gila?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to share that. I love what you're doing, Mike, and I really understand there are so many pros and cons to being an entrepreneur, and there's so many days that you are on cloud nine, and it is awesome. And I just want everybody to know that really there's also days where you wake up and you go, oh my gosh, what am I doing? And that is the roller coaster of the entrepreneurial lifestyle. And it's, you know, roller coaster rides are fun. And in the end, it all works out. But to reach me, which I am more than happy to, you know, share thoughts, provide some insights, provide direction to the right people who can really provide assistance and support in areas where they may need, you know, I'm happy to do that. First and foremost, you can learn more about the Dog is Good brand by going to dogisgood.com. There you will see a whole array of lifestyle products, apparel and gifts, and home decor, all inspired by dogs. And then they can also reach me personally at Gila, G-I-L-A, at dogisgood.com for any questions or things like that. Another resource, too, if people are involved, if they are women-owned businesses in the pet space, a tremendous resource that I know you support as well is WIPIN, Women in the Pet Industry Network, wealth of information and support there. And I think that that's a really important tool that people starting out should be taking advantage of, or utilizing, fostering friendships and camaraderie with like-minded people in the same business space. Really, really supportive group. I definitely want to say that. I also want to mention, for anybody interested, I am very excited to be releasing my first book. It will be available on Amazon as well as through Dog is Good. It's called Fur Covered Wisdom. A dog can change the way you see the world, and it is just an insightful look into kind of that entrepreneurial roller coaster, but more in terms of the anecdotal lessons that I took a moment to step back and really embrace in order to move forward, to build my business in a way that served me and others well and would be very impactful in the way ahead. So, yeah, that's where you can reach us and where you can get the book, and feel free to reach out to me, and certainly reach out to the WIPIN organization too. It's a great support system.
Yeah, definitely. I know. I love those ladies over at WIPIN. That's a fantastic place. And I'm looking forward to the book. So you said the book will be out November 1st? Or it'll be available to purchase November 1st?
Yeah, it's supposed to be, but
we know how that goes.
Right, it should be.
We'll call it November 1st-ish.
Yes, November 1st-ish. We'll definitely be putting out a big press release and an announcement for sure.
Awesome, I can't wait. I'm definitely going to take a look at that. But Gila, listen, thank you very much for your time today. I really appreciate it. I know that you've got to go, so have a wonderful rest of your day. Again, thank you, and we'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure. Thanks for the good work you do, Mike, and you have a wonderful day ahead as well.
All right. Thanks. We'll talk to you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Bye.